Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
We have officially got a presidential election. Richard Taylor with 54 votes wins. Taylor Porter comes in second with 46, and that's the thing.
What you just heard was the final ballot in the nominating contest for a Republican candidate for president. His name is Rick Taylor. He is a Merrill High School student, and he came in first in a field of six Republican candidates at a mock convention put on by Kids Voting USA, Wisconsin Marathon County, last Tuesday. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we've got Rick Taylor with us in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio, along with the winner of the Democratic Presidential Nominating Convention, another Merrill High School student, Madeline Ivy DeVoe. Also joining us today, the Regional Kids Voting Executive Director, Mike Otten. This was quite an event, bringing together more than 250 politically active high school students from 20 regional high schools for two mock political conventions, complete with platform fights, formal media debates, and presidential nominations. Today we'll be hearing excerpts of those events, and we'll be hearing from other kids voting organizers, and from some of the students, Republican and Democrat, who participated and proved that the old cliche that young people are apathetic about their government and about politics, well, that may be just an old cliche. As always, we'd like to hear from you at home. If any of you have students who participated in the Kids Voting Convention, if you've been involved in kids voting, it's been around now since 1996 in Marathon County. We'd love to hear from you, or if you're interested in the general idea of politics, voter turnout, and what we can do to make sure that young people specifically are interested in voting and interested in the political process. Here's the phone number, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And our lines are wide open right now if you'd like to call and get in line. Well, Rick, how did it feel to win the nomination for president?
It was definitely kind of scary. Definitely with four different times we had to vote, and close second. I beat her by 8 votes, and it was nerve-wracking.
Now, I saw you down on the convention floor in this. Where did you get that suit, incidentally? It was like this red checkered sports coat that practically glowed in the dark with a matching tie. I mean, you couldn't miss you down on the convention floor, but you were down there actually lobbying for votes from the other delegates.
Yeah, the story behind the suit was the night before I needed something to wear, so I asked my grandma, and she pulled it out, and turns out it's older than me, actually.
And, wow. I hate to say it, but it looked like it might be older than you. It looked like something you might find in rummage sales around the area, but it was effective. I mean, you couldn't miss where you were, and you did actually go from group to group, from state to state. They broke the students into states in order to get people voting for you.
Yeah, really my big thing I had with me was humor. One of the other running mates was a girl. That was a huge thing because she was the only female there. So she really had a pull with the, I want to be the first female president. And then we had another guy who was ridiculously overqualified. He had been in every student political arena that you could think of. And so I really just had to go out and talk with everybody there and really just kind of pull them towards me.
You know, sometimes the guy with the most qualifications isn't the guy that ends up winning, and that goes for national politics as well.
Yeah, it's very true.
Madeline, how about you? How did it feel to win the nomination for president on the Democratic side?
Overwhelming pride. I mean, I just couldn't believe that students voted for me. I didn't go out there and, like, make myself known. I didn't go out there and shake hands because I felt that in the debate where I actually talked against the other candidates, I felt that maybe I could have been more qualified, a better speaker, and I could have really captured the people's votes.
What made the two of you want to run?
So I have loved politics. I love the issues. When I saw this, my heart jumped up, and I was like, yes, I want to do this. I was just so excited because I want to make a difference in this world and actually make a change for teenagers.
How about you, Rick? Why were you interested in even doing this?
Two reasons. First, I can't really shut up, so getting out and being able to talk just for just as long as I wanted, that was really fun. And two, I've got a weird group of friends, but really out of them, I'm the most political. And I thought, hey, you know, I want to really show other kids, like, hey, politics matters. It's a big deal. So I kind of went out just to kind of, like, say politics is a big deal.
How did the other students at the high school, how do they treat you? Do they treat you as student leaders or maybe kind of like geeks, people who are a little bit outside of the mainstream? And I'm speaking from personal experience. Now, this is a long time ago, but back in the 60s when I went to high school, I was politically active. And, boy, there are a lot of high school students, at least back then, that didn't want anything to do with that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, like, when I told my friends, oh, yeah, I'm going to run for president, they're like, oh, should we start a super PAC? And I was like, they were just so, like, supportive of me. And most of the time, they just can't stand it when I talk about politics because I can't shut up and I get overheated. And so I thought this was very fitting, and they thought it was very fitting for me.
Rick, this weird group of friends of yours, do they accept you?
Most of the time. When I decide to actually be quiet for once, which is very rare. I can stand out among them, and it's interesting.
Mike Otten, Kids Voting has been active in Marathon County since 1996. You pulled off quite an event this week. So what is Kids Voting, and what are you trying to accomplish with it?
Well, Kids Voting is a national program. Our affiliate here in Wisconsin was brought to WASA by Dick Allen. And he's still a member of our board. In fact, he's our treasurer now. And
we'll be hearing from him a little bit later in the program.
Oh, great, great, yeah. On a national scale, there's many, many affiliates in various states. But to my knowledge, nobody has undertaken this type of political convention before.
So this was a first?
This was a first for us here in Wisconsin. I think it may have been a first for Kids Voting nationally.
How long have you been planning this convention?
Well, it started with an idea, I would say, September or August. And David Anderson, who is a staff person for Sean Duffy here in WASA.
And we'll be hearing from Dave Anderson a little bit later in the program.
I didn't see him in here, but okay. Anyway, he put together the convention rules. And when he did that, because he's been a state leader for quite some time, that moved the whole idea forward from first base to third, I think, and people started looking at it. My board started to consider, you know, this might actually work if we put the work into it and let's try it. I think there were some skeptical board members along the way, but the closer we got to it and the more our plans started taking shape, the more I think they were pretty confident that this would work.
How long have you been planning this?
Well, I'd say there's been about 6 months that we've spent actively planning it. The other person I wanted to recognize is Bruce Chopp, who is a retired DC Everest teacher. He, David, and myself would put together the activities that students did. And Bruce is, and I think it's in Missouri, doing his grandfatherly duties and couldn't be here for the convention either. But he deserves a lot of credit for all the work he did.
How has Kids Voting grown since its inception back in 1996?
Well, here locally, the most votes that we ever had in a presidential election was 8,000. But going into the 2008 presidential election, for that election we actually had 15,000. So it grew by leaps and bounds. And I think part of the reason for that is students being interested. The media covers elections, and it seems like there's election-type news every night on television. Kids have sort of a natural interest in it, and then they want to participate just like their parents do.
How is this tied in with the school curriculum?
Well, Kids Voting has its own separate curriculum, and teachers can access that from the national website. The curriculum documents that we have and lessons that we have are aligned with the state social studies department and the DPI here in Wisconsin.
So you went to 20 regional high schools for this convention? That's a figure I've heard anyway.
Yeah, the actual number that showed up were 21 for the final convention.
And how did you get the teachers involved in it, and how did they recruit the students?
I started with the superintendents first, and I went to the superintendent, explained what the idea was, and the fact that we were going to be seeking funding for this through foundations, and that the school districts, being as strapped as they are right now and as tight as their budgets are, I needed to be able to go to them and say, we can do this, we can fund this so that it's not going to be a burden to your budget. And I didn't want to get an immediate no, we can't afford this. And we had some very generous foundations here in Wausau that helped support this so that we could make it happen.
And what exactly are you trying to accomplish? I mean, in terms of the organization as a whole, what's your goal?
Well, I think to be informed voters. You know, we could count the number of students that vote, but we want them to know what they're doing when they actually go to the polling place and cast their ballot. So education needs to be a part of that. And we hope through this simulation that students learned a great deal about political parties, about the philosophies of the various parties, and then how that philosophy may be the best fit for them personally.
Are you too old enough to vote yet?
No.
No, you're not. But when's the first election you'll be able to vote in?
The presidential election of next year.
Yep. The presidential election, not this November?
Nope.
No, this November.
You can vote this November.
Yep. Oh,
you planning on doing it?
Yes, I am.
And what about the kids you know in high school? Are they going to be going out to vote?
I don't think they have a lot of push to go do that. So
you tell them they can't complain unless they go out and vote.
Exactly. That's what people should be being told.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, I'm going to be playing some cuts from the debates that were held and also from a floor fight over the platform on the gay marriage issue at the Democratic convention for kids voting. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking kids voting and a big convention that took place in Wausau on Tuesday. 250 regional high school students doing their own mock political conventions. I'll tell you what we're going to do here. I'm going to play a platform fight in the Democratic convention on the issue of gay marriage. This is what it sounded like.
Short and to the point. Thank you. In opposition to the amendment?
Jacob Leach, Wyoming.
Recognized.
If it feels right, can't a serial killer say it feels right? Can't a person that goes and just shoplifts from Walmart say it feels right? Is that really what marriage is about? Isn't marriage the combining of two peoples of the opposite sex?
I yield my time. In support of the amendment?
Peter Skidmore, New Hampshire.
Recognized.
I believe that everybody has a right to marry who they wish. So far, we've had two arguments against that. One seemed to highlight that the man speaking was afraid, said that I can't marry who I choose because he's afraid his wife will leave him for a cat. A cat is not a legal entity, cannot sign a marriage document, and therefore will not be married to anything. C, neither is a car. If you would like to say that someone can shoplift, that's because that's infringing on a store's right to make a profit. But whose right is infringing upon if someone is getting married to a man?
Madeline DeVoe, was that gay marriage plank eventually adopted by the Democratic Party?
Oh, yes, it was.
And you had how many other planks in your platform?
We had five.
You had five. Rick, was gay marriage a plank in the Republican convention?
No, it wasn't a major issue.
And so there's a difference between the two parties right there. What was it like watching these platforms being debated and hashed out?
Well, it was interesting because, I mean, some people would have a developed plan that they just couldn't say, and others would not have a developed plan, but they just kept babbling. But eventually, the people saw what we wanted, and we eventually got what we wanted accomplished and what we didn't want not accomplished. So,
what were the other big planks for the Democrats?
There was Social Security and taxes and economy and spending. Other things were like national security, and it was major issues that we were discussing, and I thought we were very mature about it, that we were very smart about it, too.
And you had students lining up on two different microphones, one in favor and one opposed, and it was great to see how many young people were actively involved with their opinions. Rick, what were the big planks for the Republican Party?
We had national security, education, jobs in the economy, taxes, and one other one. Really, the big one for me was education, because looking through the plank, I wasn't able to attend the plank meeting the Wednesday before. But looking through the plank, I was able to get up in front of everybody and tell them that it was illegal, what we had proposed so far.
What was that?
A nationally mandated curriculum. They wanted to have a national policy set for schools, and that's prohibited.
Well, you know, this is a good transition for my next clip. We're going to play a section of the Democratic Party debate, and I've got a Republican section queued up as well, on the very topic of education and national education policy, No Child Left Behind. We found that all three of the presidential candidates on the Democratic side did not think it was a good idea.
The thing passed by President Bush, the No Child Left Behind, I don't agree with that, because teachers are just making themselves look good by only teaching what's going to be on the test. And teachers also need to learn how to teach all different types of kids. All children learn differently. They don't all learn the same. So teachers really need to be taught how to teach to every child.
Behind that, because there are so many factors that go into the one test. It is not a clear representation of what our teachers can do. If we teach to the test, we are just undermining open thinking and just keeping closed doors for people that want to excel in music and art, people that want to excel in philosophy.
Simply teaching to the test is wrong. I think that we need to have more creative programs that actually let students teach themselves on what they like. And without these programs like band and art and all these other classes, our students would just be mindless drones.
Madeline DeVoe, that was you. And here, all three of the Democratic presidential candidates at this convention were opposed to No Child Left Behind, yet you all felt, I think, that the national government did have a role to play in education.
Well, most definitely. I think that, I mean, we strive to be, you know, a leading country in education, yet we don't have the standards or the qualities to fulfill that dream. So I think that the government should step in and actually, you know, help the schools out, develop these programs.
And Rick, on the Republican side, you argued about the education plank?
Yeah, I did.
And what was the consensus of opinion? Did they think there was a role in the national government for education? The argument is that if we're going to compete in the world economy, we need an educated workforce, and that's a national priority, which is, that gives you the excuse to have the national government get involved. But how did the Republicans feel?
Well, me personally, I believe that the more government expands, the more its lawlessness expands. And really, we don't need the national government in the state's pockets telling them, this is what you need to do. What we need is just kind of a national standard, something that we want to get our kids to, and we don't need the government stepping in saying, this is what you have to do, this is what you don't have to do, et cetera, et cetera.
Mike Otten, what do you think of the arguments that you heard in those debates and the platform fights and the discussion you're hearing from these two young people here today?
Well, I really wished I was two people on the day of the convention. Of course, I could only be in one place. And when you played the clip before from the Democratic part, I happened to be in the audience at the time that was that was presented. What I was impressed with was not so much just the arguments, but the way in which the students did their argument. And it seemed like even though they might be 180 degrees apart in terms of what they believe and what they think, they seem to be able to handle that without resulting in anger or resulting in bitterness. And they were statesmen. They really did a very nice job of that.
You know, guys, we live in very polarized times right now. It seems like you've got Republicans not talking to Democrats, Democrats not talking to Republicans, both sides just digging in. But the two of you, your respective presidential candidates, drove down together from Merrill, where you both live. Do young people share the kind of animosity toward people of different party affiliation that you seem to find in so many older folks?
Well, Ricky and I did not used to be friends at all. I mean, because of our political differences, we just couldn't get along until finally our debate coach, Ms. Strebig, told us, you know, get over yourselves. You're too ignorant to be good debaters. So either buckle up and shut up or, you know, just stop. So,
Rick?
It's not that young people don't have that anger. It's just that eventually at one point we're just going to have to get over it. I mean, that's the way of life. We go to a point where it's either we keep going or we change. And with this younger generation, I feel like that change can be accomplished if they're informed on what to do and if they're educated enough to be respectful.
We live in very polarized times. It's not quite as bad as it was during the 60s when I was your age. But we're getting close. You know, we're getting closer all the time. And they're like pluses and minuses to that. The plus is that you get a lot of people very active in politics and very involved. The negative, of course, is that you've got so much negative energy, so many people who just don't get along, and the lack of compromise. How is that polarization manifesting itself at Merrill High School? Is there a political buzz in the student body? Are people talking about Governor Walker, the recall elections, President Obama, Obamacare, the Tea Party, all of the stuff that's on our plate right now?
Well, I see people saying, oh, Obama this, Obama that, all negative. And I'm thinking, well, why do you think that? And it's always because their parents say that stuff. They don't develop a decision for themselves. And I'm like, well, why don't you go home and actually look at what Obama has done for you and what he hasn't done for you and actually learn something about politics?
I don't really hear a lot. I just know of the Scott Walker issue from last year. That was a big thing in schools, and you hear that every once in a while, and especially with the recall coming up soon.
How do you feel about the recall?
I think that people should deal with it. I mean, Scott Walker's done a lot of good. He brought us out of debt. I mean, yeah, there were tough cuts, but there comes a point where you need to choose either what's easy or what's right, and he did what's right, even though it's ending in his recall.
I'm Glenn Moberg, Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We want to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742. Joshua and Wausau, call us back. We lost you. We'll try to get you on the air. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio talking about the Kids Voting Convention that took place here on the UW Marathon County campus on Tuesday. 250 very bright, politically active young people, Democrats and Republicans, staging their own political conventions with platform fights and presidential nominations and debates. We're going to be hearing from the Republican debate in just a few minutes. We've got Mike Otten, who's the executive director of the regional group, and also Madeline DeVoe, who is the Democratic presidential candidate that was churned out in this kids' voting convention, and Rick Taylor, both of them from Merrill. Rick is the Republican. We'd like to hear from you, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I think, folks, before we go any further, I'm going to play a short clip with other kids voting organizers giving their analysis of the convention that just took place. And what we've got is Mark Munson, the president of the board of directors, Dave Anderson, who we talked about. He's a member of Sean Duffy's congressional office and also a member of the kids voting board of directors, and Dick Allen. Now, Dick is the kids voting treasurer and the former executive director. He helped start the local program back in 1996. We're going to hear from Mark, then Dave, and then Dick.
I think this is a tremendous opportunity for these students in our county, and really is a very, very powerful way to get them engaged in the political process.
Yeah, we hear so much about young people being apathetic and even the electorate being apathetic. The young people who are in this room don't seem apathetic to me.
No, they don't. And I think most people, if they were to witness this event, it would give them, at least internally, some motivation to become involved in the political process and to make sure that you develop awareness of the issues and cast a ballot.
Now, how do these individual students get involved in it?
We simply reached out to all of the school districts in Marathon County, got the school districts on board. From there, we had teachers who volunteered extra time to bring this experience to their classrooms and to their students. And from there, it's just taken off.
Having been involved in the planning for today's event, it's so exciting to see this whole process come alive and to see these young people taking such an active role in the political process. And, of course, that's what kids voting is all about, is getting young people involved in the political process.
And quite a turnout here today. We've got, what, more than 250 kids from all around Marathon County?
Yeah, I think we've got about over 20 schools participating throughout the county, and the participation actually exceeded our expectations. And given the feedback that we've gotten already from this morning, we think next time it's going to be even larger.
What does that say to have young people so enthusiastic about the political process?
Well, really, the future of our system of government depends upon that next generation stepping forward and getting involved and taking leadership roles. And that's why those of us who are involved in kids voting are so committed to providing opportunities to do that. So it really means the future of our country to me.
Going back to when we started it in 1996, if you had told me that it would grow to this level and this degree of importance, I just would have found it unbelievable. This is a wonderful exhibit of what our students and our schools and our community can do to enhance an awareness.
What about the whole concept of kids breaking out into two groups and then actually doing political conventions, writing platforms, nominating candidates, and having debates?
Okay, this is the way it's done in reality, and it gives them an opportunity to speak to their parties and to the people of their same persuasions and develop a coherent platform and then be ready to enter the political fray with meaningful documents and a meaningful position.
You know, we hear about young people being apathetic about the political process. That certainly isn't the case today.
Well, I hope that what we're seeing today is representative. I think the students are seeing that you can get things done, and that's the important thing by being organized and working together.
That's Dick Allen, Dave Anderson, and Mark Munson, three of the organizers who helped pull off this amazing political convention that took place at UW-Marathon County on Tuesday. Mike Otten, anything you'd like to add to what you just heard?
Well, it's great for me to hear those three people talk, because they played such an integral part in this. And it is really a team effort. You have to have lots and lots of people who are committed to make it happen. And, you know, if I were to list it, we'd run out of time on here with individuals. But I really appreciate being in the place we are. This facility was outstanding for having two theaters so close in proximity to each other, and people were continually running from one venue to the other to see what's going on with each of the political
parties. And we couldn't have done that a couple of years ago before the new building was put up here.
Right. This is perfect.
Do you think it's a good idea for us to strive for 100% participation in elections? In other words, should 100% of the people in the country vote?
Well, one of the activities we did with this, in fact, it was the first activity that we suggested with schools, was to do the voter registration on the government accountability form. And we tried to make everything as realistic as we could. So there were three schools that we gave a special recognition to that they got 100% of their students registered to vote. I think it's an individual decision on voting day, but I think that's not only a right of people, but a duty also to exercise that.
Madeline and Rick, what do you think? Should we get 100% of the people voting? Do you think that's unrealistic, or maybe it's not even a good idea? Rick, why don't you go first?
100% would be great. I mean, everybody's got a voice in government, but at the same time, you want to be careful because you don't want people just going out to vote just to vote. You want them to be informed. You want them to know about their candidates, what they're going to be supporting. I mean, that's part of the whole hype with Scott Walker is that people are complaining that they didn't vote, so they want a recall so they can vote for somebody else.
Madeline, what about you? Should we have 100% of the people voting?
Well, the ideal dream is to have everyone's voice in the government. But, I mean, it's not really that realistic when people honestly just don't care. I mean, there are those people you find are super passionate for our government, and then you find the others that just they don't give a darn. And you think, well, if they don't care, then why should they get a voice? And I think that, I mean, it's your choice to vote or not.
How do you guys feel about the voter ID laws? On the one hand, the argument is that it's necessary in order to make sure that every vote that's cast is a legitimate vote, that it keeps fraud from happening. The other argument is that it's voter suppression. They are deliberately trying to keep black people, minorities, and particularly, and this should be of concern to you, young people and college students from voting. Rick, what about the voter ID bill? It's been pushed by a lot of Republican governors.
I think that it's ultimately good. I mean, you're eliminating voter fraud, and you're really kind of giving quality to the votes. I mean, there's other ways we can get around the polling suppression, as you mentioned. And, I mean, really a big thing would be is just get a government ID that we can give to people free of charge that will just prove they are who they are.
And Madeline?
I think it's discriminatory. I think that it's unnecessary. I mean, if it was 100% fraud, then sure, yeah, go ahead with it. But I think it's such a minimal issue, it's not necessary at all.
How about college students? We had a debate on this voter ID stuff and who should be voting and who shouldn't. And I had a gentleman on the show who said college students should not be allowed to vote in the communities where they go to school. They should instead be forced to take absentee ballots and cast their votes in the communities where their parents have their homes and their parents raise them, because after all, they're still a dependent on the parents' income tax forms. Do you think college students should be allowed to vote in the college, at the school, in that community where they go to school?
Well, I mean, if they're voting, why shouldn't they be allowed to vote in their own, in the district that they live in? I mean, every vote counts, and when or where they vote doesn't, it shouldn't matter at all.
Rick, what do you think?
On a national scale, college kids are voting is positive. They bring new ideas, they're young, and really that new idea really can change a lot in government. But at the same time, on a smaller scale, state, local, I don't believe they should. They don't spend their entire life in that community, and so what they vote on could be extremely detrimental to the community they're currently in.
Okay, good arguments from both of you. I want to play a clip now from the Republican presidential debate. There were six Republican candidates, only three Democrats, at the kids' voting convention last Tuesday here at the UW Marathon County campus.
My name is Luke Moat, Wausau Engineering and Global Leadership Academy. I'm a Republican.
Oh, we've got the wrong tape here. Let me hang on just a second here. That's what happens when you go from one tape to another. Sometimes you queue up the wrong one. Here are the Republican candidates.
That's going to be a tough one because in America, a lot of us are very outspoken and we all have our different views and we like to have those views. And there's nothing wrong with having different views. But personally, I believe that sometimes we need to put aside our differences and come together for the betterment of people.
Right now, the two parties are voting on party lines. They're not voting on what's right for Americans as a whole. They only think about their beliefs, and how they think they are right. Now, there's a lot of talk about compromise. and who's going to compromise? But there's only really one compromise that needs to be made. And this is the compromise that we have to think better, or think what's best for the American people.
Republicans and Democrats are probably best at hating each other. Before Congress broke in 2011, we saw them get together in one room and try to figure out the budget. Republicans and Democrats didn't get along at all, and the mandatory cuts happened automatically. Couldn't stop them. But what they need to get over, they need to get over themselves. They need to understand that, hey, you know, my kids one day are going to live in this country, and they need to be able to do so without trillions of dollars on their backs.
Compromise is where each side gives up something they want to get something they want to move ahead. Neither party is entirely happy, but something happens. Our current populace is sick and tired of both parties not wanting the compromise. Nobody wants to give a little to gain something. Everyone's like, it's got to be my way or the highway. And right now, it's the highway.
Well, I believe the best way to get rid of the major contrast is to, like any good way, is remove the extremists. You have two people on complete opposite sides of the spectrum. Both are only going to be seeing their way. You'll have the next step of people who are willing to give a little bit, but they're still sticking to their cause. And then you have the reasonable people who are willing to go either way. That's us young people today. There's not enough of those young people in Congress. It's all very, very old people, as Ricky said, a bunch of old men. And unfortunately, that's what's wrong. They're so ingrained in their old ways that they're going to stick to those old ways until they're on, well, until they die, I guess. So my best thoughts or best ideas would be to have more young people input.
I believe the true polarity is not between Republican and Democrat, but between people who are for the people and people who are for themselves. I believe the way to fix our problems is to put a term limit on both the Senate and House of Representatives. Then people such as former Congressperson Dave Obie, Ted Kennedy, and John McCain wouldn't run for office because they run it as a job. They run so they can get the benefits, so they can get their great salary, and if they can get reelected, that's great. Now, if we had term limits, you would get people like current Governor Scott Walker who really care about fixing the economy and fixing our government. And I feel as Americans, we need people like that.
Those are the six candidates for the Republican presidential nomination at the Kids Voting Conventions held on the UW-Marathon County campus on Tuesday. And Rick Taylor, what was that like participating in that particular debate? Did you find it challenging to have to answer questions and think on your feet?
No, it's I've been in debate for the past 3 years, and it's actually almost become second nature just to kind of talk to be able to simultaneously think and speak so that I can just be analytical and state my point quickly.
Madeline, how about you? Was it challenging?
Well, I mean, all three candidates, we all had the same ideas, mostly the same beliefs and everything, but it was more of who was more passionately speaking. I mean, you need to vote with your brain for the person who speaks with their heart. So I think that in the debate, I was very confident in what I said. I felt I was very passionate in what I said, and I think that's why I won. So,
and Mike Otten, what did you think about the quality of the arguments you heard, the forceful way in which they were stated, the command of the English language that you heard from these six high school students participating in this mock debate?
I was very impressed. It felt to me like these weren't high school students up there. These were professionals. These were people who were able to speak very clearly, and they weren't speaking from prepared notes. They had nothing in front of them, but they put their ideas together very well and very clearly and very persuasively, too. There was a little bit of the kind of cheering going on, but I never heard anything that, even approached shame or, you know, saying that something disparaging because somebody just said something you really didn't agree with.
And isn't that something? The kids showed better manners and more civility than the adults do
in the political process. They had amazing restraint. Yes, they did.
We're talking about the Kids Voting Convention with Executive Director Mike Otten and also Madeline DeVoe. She is the Democratic nominee from that convention, a high school student from Merrill, as is Rick Taylor, who is the Republican nominee. If you want to get in a call, we've got a few minutes left of the show, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking about the Kids Voting Convention on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with Kids Voting Executive Director Mike Otten and Republican Rick Taylor and Madeline DeVoe, a Democrat, both Merrill High School students. How do you feel about the fact that Merrill High School, man, you out of the 21 schools, you guys picked both the Republican and the Democratic candidates. How'd that happen?
We had a good debate coach. I mean, she taught us how to speak persuasively, fluently, and think on your feet. And I think that's what put us over the edge.
Rick, you agree with that?
Yeah, and along with that, the same debate coach is also one of my AP English teachers. And although I slack off a lot, it really helped, actually, while I was speaking. It was a big deal.
We're going to hear now some more recorded clips from the convention. We're going to hear from some of the Republican delegates and from some of the Democratic delegates. Again, these are all high school students from throughout the general regional area in central Wisconsin.
My name is Luke Moat, Wausau Engineering and Global Leadership Academy. I'm a Republican because I believe that big government is bad because they put too many laws and restrictions on things.
What do you look for in a president?
I look for a really, really strong sense of leadership. Sometimes charisma, but a lot of times too much charisma will make you vote for them, even if they aren't a very strong leader.
Eric Porzio. I'm a Republican because the things that are going on in Washington at the moment are just, I don't really agree with them. I used to be kind of neutral, but after seeing what's been going on with Obamacare and everything, I kind of swayed it over to Republican.
My name is Samantha Mushel. I'm from Columbus Catholic High School in Marshfield.
What do you look for in a presidential candidate?
I look for somebody who is not necessarily a lawyer, but more of a businessman. I think it's important that they know how to run as how like a business is, because you know they're basically running our country, which can be like a business.
Bruce Sparb, Wausau Engineering and Global Leadership Academy.
And what do you look for in a presidential candidate?
Someone that will help our nation before helping any other nation.
Harrison Coe, Marathon High School. I find that the Republicans really reflect the views that I have about how I feel about politics.
Melanie Fisher, Wittenberg Burnwood. I would like the economy to get a lot better, bring jobs back into the U.S. so we can make money and get out of this slum of debt. I grew up as a Republican. My parents raised me like that way, and I very fit the beliefs very well.
Skylar Walkowski. I'm more of a believer that we should focus on what we need to do, and if we need to intervene with other countries, yeah, go ahead and do it, because if they need help, we should be able there to help them. And I kind of believe in the small government thing. I'm not a big fan of a huge number of people controlling what everybody in the country thinks is right.
Those are some of the Republican delegates. Now let's listen to some of the Democrats. Again, these are high school students from the regional area in central Wisconsin.
My name is Max Strelo. I go to the Wausau Engineering and Global Leadership Academy. My parents were Democrats, but I have looked at the issues, and I do feel that with my mom being a small business owner and my dad formerly being a teacher, I definitely can see where the Democrats are coming from, that the poor sometimes do need help to get out of poverty, and that a lot of rich people really have the excess money that they aren't paying in taxes.
My name is Michaela Kazabaki. I'm from Rochelle High School. I'm a Democrat because I believe in the power of the people.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that this nation was built on the backs of the working class, which is basically the Democratic Party.
Scarlett Tuma,
Stratford High School.
I look for a presidential candidate that shows good leadership skills, that talks to the people and really will do what they say they're going to.
Christy Zhang. I go to Wausau West High School.
Why are you a Democrat?
Because I believe that women, they deserve to have a right in choosing either to abort a child, and I believe that everyone deserves the right to marry whomever they wish to marry.
Maggie Petrowski. I go to school at Stratford. I believe that the Democratic views in politics really mirror my own. I am very pro-women's rights. My top issues are probably gay marriage, the abortion issue, and women's rights.
My name is Vito Skidmore. I go to WASA EGL Academy, a charter school inside of East. My top issues are human rights, humanitarian rights, foreign affairs, and gay rights.
And what do you look for in a president?
I look for someone who's willing to concede in some of their beliefs, because we need collaboration and cooperation. And I also look for a president who is strong in the personal beliefs that I held the highest.
Rick and Madeline, are there fundamental differences between Democrats and Republicans? Do we simply see the world in different ways? Is there any way to bridge that divide?
I believe most definitely that there's a huge difference between both Democrats and Republicans. And really the thing that's going to kind of get it to really get us to work together is the understanding that some people are going to be able to do things better than others and that we're going to need to step aside and let them do it.
Madeline?
Well, I think each side wants to help the people in the best way that they can, but, I mean, they view different ways on how to do it, and I think that's where the conflict rises.
Mike, you've got about 15 seconds here for a final comment.
I just want to thank both of my final candidates here and for doing such a nice job at the convention. And to all of you that are listening out there, thanks very much for participating.
Thank you. And I wanted to get as many of the students and the kids in as possible, and I think we did that this hour. We want to thank our guests, Kids Voting USA, Wisconsin Marathon County Executive Director Mike Otten, and the two students who participated in Tuesday's mock political conventions in Wausau, Republican presidential nominee Rick Taylor and Democratic presidential nominee Madeline Ivy DeVoe, both of Merrill. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Breyer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Crystal Bennis. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week on Route 51, we bring you highlights of the Wisconsin Public Radio, Wausau Daily Herald, Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service debate between the two candidates for mayor of Wausau, incumbent Jim Tipple and challenger Ed Gale. The debate takes place this coming Wednesday evening at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater at the UW Marathon County campus, and it is open to the public. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we are heading out of town.